It's been 50 years since I was in the British Army uniform keeping you safe in your brick veneer villas. It reminds me of Spike Milligan's memoir, Adolf Hitler, My Part in His Downfall. Actually, Hitler was well beaten by the time I wore khaki in the cadets before being chucked out for gross insubordination and a blank refusal to buy or wear boots. But the reason for telling you all this is to remind you how young our soldiers were, and sometimes still are, teenagers often, and far from home and miserable, missing mum's dinner. So what did they eat? Shirley Vidian in Melbourne has looked into all this.
Who called the cook a bastard? Who called the bastard a cook? A favourite aphorism long used by soldiers for food and rations and the people who prepared them. In seeking the history of army food and army cooks, I was generously provided with information from the Australian Army Catering Corps and further informed by Australian War Memorial Diaries and, with the permission of publishers Pan Macmillan, to quote Les Carlyon from his book Gallipoli. From all this information, it became apparent that the Army is due much credit for its current standard of food and the professional people who prepare it. As late as the first half of the 20th century, army cooks were drawn from other ranks of the regiment. The camp kitchen was used as a dumping ground for the problem soldier. Rarely did a soldier of any quality or ability volunteer for this despised trade. James Fletcher Wiles of Ballarat, Victoria, who served in the Boer War during the South African campaign, was the youngest in the regiment at age 17 and spent a lot of time cooking meals. He conceived the idea of a mobile steam cooker, a horse-drawn travelling kitchen, being a combination of a steam boiler, roasting oven and hot and cold water tanks. These were first made and used during World War I in Australia, Egypt and France. Wiles believed that steaming vegetables was nutritionally better than boiling them. This was later confirmed by the CSIRO during the early stages of World War II. While troops serving in World War I at the Western Front were accompanied by the traditional field bakery and field butchery, this was impractical for the diggers fighting in the dark, stinking, covered trenches at Gallipoli. Les Carlyon records the diggers in the trenches sometimes received shipments of butter so rancid that on one occasion this was scooped up in a tin and, with a wick inserted, used as a candle. Salty bully beef that brought on thirst was provided, as were biscuits so hard that men broke their teeth on them. A few ounces of jam, a little cheese, maybe a few desiccated vegetables, tea, condensed milk, and sometimes a little treacle. The difficulties in consuming these supplies were later described by Carlyon, quoting an ordinary seaman at Hellas. Once a day, if we were lucky, we had bully beef and fly stew. Otherwise, we had a rasher of salty bacon and a mug of fly tea for breakfast. And in the evening, another mug of fly tea and either a piece of slimy, fly-covered cheese or sharing a small tin of apricot jam, also shared with the flies. On opening the tin, the flies were so thick they were squashed in the process, until instead of jam, the only thing to be seen was a blue-black mixture of sticky, sickly flies. Meanwhile, at home in Australia, many women's organisations, concerned for the nutritional value of food being supplied to their men, concentrated their efforts on creating a nutritional biscuit that would survive long voyages in non-refrigerated merchant navy ships. Their answer? A biscuit based on a Scottish recipe using rolled oats but which did not require eggs, scarce due to the enlistment of poultry farmers. Initially titled Soldiers' Biscuits, they were renamed Anzac Biscuits after the landing on Gallipoli and packed off to the troops in airtight tins. At the outbreak of World War II, army cookery courses were being run by qualified instructors, but only the worst soldiers of the regiment were offered up for training. Senior army personnel in 1939 were sufficiently concerned about the quality of troop food and the reputation of unit cooks, which was at an all-time low, that one of the foremost nutritional experts of the time, Major Sir C. Stanton Hicks, Professor of Human Physiology and Pharmacology at Adelaide University, was appointed to the role of District Catering Supervisor of the 4th Military District, South Australia. He noted that cookery schools were having a very difficult task trying to train sufficient cooks from the unsuitable personnel assigned to them. He recognised that to improve the feeding of the army, it was necessary to get good soldiers to be cooks, improve their standard of training and the quality of rations and cooking equipment. Hicks initially recruited catering managers from civilian industry and gained support to have suitably qualified cooks paid a tradesman's rate with eligibility for promotion. In the interim, due to the appalling conditions experienced by the troops in the wet, treacherous, mountainous terrain of New Guinea, the field rations, or lack of, added to their deprivations. In Fong, the troops ground to a halt for days when rations ran out. Attempts were made to airdrop stores, but the dropping ground was very small and on a ridge. Consequently, a very small percentage of stores was able to be collected. In the Battle of the Aurora Creek to Alola in October-November 1942, personal daily rations consisted of bully beef and 2 ounces of biscuits. No fires could be lit, as rising smoke through the trees, indicating their position, inevitably brought mortar fire from the Japanese on the ridge above. No hot tea or hot meal of any kind could be had for 9 days. But on the 1st and 2nd of November 1942, the brigade advanced northward through a number of villages where yams and marrows were accessible. On the 3rd of November, the floor of the Kokoda Valley was reached and more gardens appeared, full of accessible plantains, pawpaws and other fruits. Major Hicks believed that the nutritional value of food was vital, and that a diet of bully beef for 120 days on the Kokoda Trail in New Guinea led to the malnutrition sufficient to undermine troop stamina and morale. Concurrent with the experiences of the troops in New Guinea, Major Hicks' study of food at Woodside Training Camp in Adelaide revealed that porridge, soup, stew or vegetables were invariably burnt due to a particular type of stove being used and the lack of skilled cooks. Troops more often than not refused to eat boiled cabbage and left it on their plates along with potato mush. Local farmers carted an estimated 40% of uneaten food to the pigsties around Woodside. With the support of senior army personnel, Major Hicks altered the basis of the allowance for military rations from a monetary value to a nutrient entitlement, and improved the pay and promotion opportunities for cooks. He designed jungle patrol emergency and airdrop rations and devised new methods of preparing food with the many variations of the portable wild steam cooker now available, updated and redesigned by James Fletcher Wild's 2 sons following their father's death in 1939. One variation was a small unit to be towed by jeep or capable of being dropped by parachute into inaccessible areas. The Wiles cooker could be operated while travelling at normal convoy speed and would supply a battalion with a 2-course meal without loss of time whenever the CO decided to stop. 4 gallons of water could also be boiled for tea in 2 minutes. Over 3,000 Wiles cookers were made and used by all branches of the armed forces in Australia, New Zealand, USA and Britain and were phased out in 1980. More importantly, Hicks, now a Lieutenant Colonel, went on to form the Australian Army Catering Corps, the AACC, in 1943 and became its first Director of Catering. The role of the Army cook now became a professional, structured career. AAC personnel now are first and foremost members of the unit they are posted to. Catering personnel are detached and provide catering services in all Australian Army theatres of war. With the formation of the new corps, the shortage of cooks was overcome. At the conclusion of World War II, the AACC strength was 17,500. Following World War II, the biggest task for the AAC was in providing catering staff to serve in Japan with the British Commonwealth Occupation Force, followed by the outbreak of hostilities in Korea, where cooks worked under extreme climatic conditions, either very hot or very cold, their kitchens normally just tents. In the early 1960s, the AACC built many new kitchens and messes with modern, up-to-date cooking equipment. It was a period where the AACC stopped teaching their basic cooks how to kill and pluck chickens, and gone were the days of shelling wheat bags of fresh peas. Deep freezers were issued, and so were frozen chickens and quick frozen peas. In 1965, all army stewards were transferred to the AACC, which further enhanced the catering service provided to the army. Now all catering tasks were performed by AACC personnel. During the Vietnam War, AACC personnel served with every unit, in addition to their normal catering duties, carried out military duties in major operations such as perimeter patrols. At least one AACC personnel paid the ultimate price, dying as a result of wounds received whilst on patrol with his battalion. In Vietnam, 24-hour Australian combat rations consisted of cans of ham and egg, baked beans, corned beef, small packets and tubes of tea, coffee, sugar, jam, Vegemite, shortbread, dry biscuits, chocolate, and condensed milk. Once a week, a hot box meal, which usually consisted of steak and mash, fresh fruit and sweets and soft drinks, would be choppered in. Deployment to East Timor was the turning point for the Corps. Members excelled in performing not only their core role of sustaining soldiers, but they also ably assisted their units to fulfil a range of other functions. Nowadays, catering training is conducted by the ADF School of Catering at HMAS Cerberus, supplemented by practical catering training at the Chisholm TAFE in Victoria. The nutritional value of meals is an ongoing study. AACC cooks and stewards have prepared and served meals to queens, presidents, and prime ministers. They compete regularly between brigades, and the photos of the winning food would grace any gourmet magazine. In March 2009, the AACC was granted the Governor-General's banner in recognition of the role of the Corps within the Army. It was a significant opportunity to demonstrate tangible support for the AACC and to reinforce the Army's decision to retain it as a Corps. The occasion was catered by AACC caterers and served by its stewards, the highlight being an ice sculpture of an ornate fish carved by an AACC warrant officer. Instead of the inevitable stew of yesteryear, today's fare could include delicacies such as spinach roulade or honey-glazed loin of pork. The most unusual complaint now received from soldiers is, "The ice cream is too cold." Who called the cook a bastard? No one. Not anymore.
Which is as it should be. If you're in harm's way, bad food is an extra insult. Shirley Vidian in Melbourne, who writes on Australian history. Dr. Jack Carmody also writes about history and disease. Next week he tackles smallpox. Was it really introduced to early European Australia via the First Fleet? Or did it enter some other way? That's next week. I'm Robin Williams.